All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Adventure Zone Zone, which is a joke I've been meaning to make since we started this podcast.
Now's your time. It's your time to shine.
We're going to be talking about the latest TTAZZ today. First of all, I just wanted to say that I listened to Elementary and it was hysterical.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're not a Max Fund donor, Max Fund Drive is going on right now. So if you enjoy The Adventure Zone, you should consider donating, which is my weird pitch that I felt compelled to make because I don't know.
Well, you know, Rachel, we love the McElroys and we
partake. No, stop it.
Well, no, I'm just saying we partake in a good chunk of Max Fund's what they have to offer. So, I mean, it's kind of, you know, they're putting their hat out there and we're saying, hey, go put money in their hat.
Yeah, everybody else better start paying so this thing that I like doesn't go away.
Yeah, basically, right? Basically.
No. Okay, so there's that. The more important piece of news probably is that, as we predicted, Amnesty is going to be season 2, which I'm very excited about.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm super jazzed about it. Yeah, I guess we could... I'll just start at the beginning of my notes.
There's so much to unpack with this TTAZZZ that, like, I don't know about Rachel, but I'm feeling very, like, overwhelmed with information. Like, in good way. In a good way.
Oh, okay.
Just because there's so much. They had so many feelings that they wanted to share.
I know.
And my notes are so long.
Hell yeah. All right. So, I don't know. I guess we're Bachelor Nation, and at first I was ready to feel insulted by that, but I am a bachelor, Chelsea, and you're a bachelor too.
I am.
I actually way preferred Zoner Boners.
I did too. I'm so sad that lost.
I don't know what they were talking about. They were just like, there wasn't some actual poll that they made. They were just like bullshitting this, right?
Yeah, no. As our Twitter representative, I think they were just making some jokes. I did notice, though, that Griffin was like, no, I left that franchise. I'm wonderful now, which is, Griffin used to do that Bachelor podcast, so I thought that was pretty funny, which is...
Oh, yeah. Is that what Bachelor...
Well, but that's the thing. I don't know why Justin decided on Bachelor Nation, because I'm like, is Justin now into the Bachelor? Because
no,
I
thought he was just calling us a bunch of nerdy virgins for listening to a D&D podcast.
You know, he might. Oh my god, you're right. You know, this could be multi-layered. This could be multi-layered. You know,
The Bachelor, shit. The show, did not even occur to me.
I think you just solved their bachelor puzzle.
Oh boy.
Oh geez. Well.
So somebody asked about the space.
Oh, yeah.
Mini arc that I wanted really bad. And Griffin said that he had, like, a space thing that he's been wanting to do for a while, mm-hmm. which got me very excited. Griffin, I hope that even if it doesn't happen right now, someday we can revisit this space campaign that you have allegedly planned.
Season 3, baby.
Oh, my God, baby. Okay. I can't believe it's been 8 months since Balance ended.
Dude, okay. Like, that boggles my mind. I had to count. So... Balance ended in August. What did they...
Yeah, it was camping.
Yeah, I was in Italy.
Yeah, I listened to the finale wandering around in the woods and then later down on the beach with a bottle of wine crying really hard.
That's really eloquent. I didn't know if I wanted to say eloquent or elegant, so it came out as eloquent.
That's fine. I'll accept that. It was actually a really beautiful... It's just like... I waited until it was after dinner, the sun was setting, and I just, like, sat on the beach while it got darker, and then just cried really hard, and I went back up to... I was sharing a tent with my brother, and I, like, crawled back in the tent. He's already asleep, and I was like, I finished it! It was real good! Oh, my God!
That's such a Merle, like, way to end the show. I'm pretty sure I was actively on a flight to Italy. I downloaded the episode in the crappy airport Wi-Fi, and I had a row to myself on the airplane, so I just kind of curled up into a ball across three seats and just listened to the finale. I emoted. See, that's the thing. We emoted so much independently that when we got back, we were just like, hey, you wanna like compile our feelings into a podcast?
I know.
So now we have these feelings together.
I know. I hate to go on a balance tangent here, but like, Man, I just, you know, the finale fucking wrecked me, dude. I was literally, like, I was crying so, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, sometimes, in, yeah, you know, ahead, you cry, so, like, when you're crying so hard that, like, you can't, you're, like, actively sobbing, you, like, can't hold back the noise were of your own crying.
Were you racked with sobs? I think that's how all
I was racked with sobs, oh, man, during the last, like, 10 fucking minutes, or whatever, you know what part I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, good news, doesn't sound like they're going to be not doing Balance anytime soon. The boys did talk about how they would revisit Balance and how Balance meant so much to them, and how they really couldn't imagine doing the Adventure Zone without ever revisiting the Trace Horny Boys.
Did you say Twice Horny Boys?
Shut up. Yeah, but yeah, so I mean, and I think Travis had a really good point that I just wanted to call out there, is that it's so much easier to do these one shots once the canon has been settled and once the thing is done, which I was like, yep, like that casino heist, like there's no way that could have they could have done that in
I mean the one live show, the one Balance live show, I might be wrong about this, but the one they did during the show was the wrestling one, right? No, they also did the camp, the Balance, like,
the friendship training camp
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did I don't remember what it was called. Camp Anawana? I don't know.
I don't remember. Well, it was really funny in the wrestling one, because they kept joking about, well, we can't die because we'll make a time paradox, because this is like before current, where we currently are. That's in the Balance true. Campaign.
See, I think the first Adventure Zone live that they did, I'm pretty sure that was the prequel that I haven't listened to yet. I'm a Max Fun donor now, and I haven't listened to the prequel because I'm having too much fun listening to Nights. that I need to go
don't
back.
You love Troth?
Troth is so good, but also
Troth is so good.
I love Lenny, and I also love Tom, and I also love Chaser. Chaser? Yeah. That's so cute. So they got away with it the first time because it was a prequel. They could do whatever with the prequel. They can't die in the prequel either, but you know.
That's true.
And it ended up creating a lot of things that ended up being like dear beloved jokes that I had no idea what the context was, but now I can because I have access to that episode.
Are you talking about the prequel episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Taco from TV. Now I can find out where that's
Taco
from.
Taco from TV, yep. Man, yeah, it really warmed my heart hearing Justin say that how sad it would make him if they stopped doing Balance. Because, again, you know, I've complained about Justin seeming a little emotionally detached in the past. Yes. But, like, I think he probably really loves playing Taco.
Yeah. I also thought it was really nice that when they all picked their favorite NPCs that they were playing from the mini arcs. I beamed with happiness on the inside that Justin picked Cardala, because I was like, I loved your Cardala the most. I like Duck, and I also like Gus, but I just, Cardala was so cool.
Cardala was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad Clint said Ned, because boy, I love Ned, man, and I'm fucking excited for Amnesty. I'm just gonna keep saying it, man.
Yeah, no, they have so many things, and I think that's what Griffin was saying too, and that's what I really appreciated, is that they set up so many things that need to be explored. That Griffin, I know Griffin said that he was gonna limit it maybe to only taking a year or something, like it wasn't gonna be another 3-year arc, but
yeah,
like there's so many things that they have to unpack. I don't know. I it might take another 3 years for them to do another 60 episodes. Like, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, Griffin is now a very experienced dungeon and game master.
That's
but
true.
I know if you're like not, I mean, for me, my rule of thumb was like everything that I'm planning expected to take twice as long.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they went through too. Like every arc during a money zone, Griffin would be like, hey, I thought this would be shorter, but here we are.
Exactly.
I'm really glad. Oh, also, I'm glad that Griffin said he wanted to do more one-offs, like Elementary, because it was fucking fun.
Yes.
And I think they took a lot of license to be really silly in it, which reminded me a lot of early Taz Balance.
Exactly, exactly. I think that when these mini-arcs, it forced them to be really, like, on the narrative and do a lot of exposition, because they had to convey a lot of information and make something compelling and entertaining in a very short amount of time. But they were saying, like, even they were kind of feeling the pressure of, you know, we don't have a whole lot of goofy moments. Everything's kind of tense a little bit, which, like, when Travis was saying that when you have a serious drama, the jokes become funnier because they aren't, it's not every other minute is a joke, so they get heightened. Sure. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I think, let's talk about this, because this is, I think, a thing that, like, the boys have worried about, and they're, like, aware of the kind of criticism that they've gotten, maybe, or just, like, concerns that people have expressed. I don't know how to phrase it exactly. But
I think at this is... Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
You go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I was just gonna say, I think it feels like we've all invested a lot of time and energy, the boys most of all, but we all kind of feel partly, I don't want to say ownership, but, you know, like, we've all invested in this podcast, so everyone has an opinion of what it is or what its future is, including the fans, but most importantly, the boys. So them constantly taking what they see and hear on Twitter to heart is kind of like, oh, that kind of bums me out, you know, that kind of stuff weighs so heavily on them, because it's their thing. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before, how ultimately it's their thing. They have to do whatever they feel is right, but... like, the fandom...
Any kind of internet celebrities have this really weird culture because they're highly accessible.
Yeah.
So, like, you don't normally... I mean, I also am not a big celebrity gossip person, so this might be going on and I just don't realize, but you don't normally hear Brad Pitt talking about, oh, someone said this about me on Twitter and it hurt my feelings. Like, there's much more of an open dialogue between fans and content creators when it's this kind of small audience, relatively self-published sort of media. And I think this is something that we've talked about before on this show, that the settings that they created for the mini arcs are just, like, inherently more serious than fucking fantasy Forgotten Realms, you know, not just that, but, like, I think they were in a more serious place when they started, rather than with Balance Arc, they just, like, you know, fucking around in the beginning.
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts about this that I don't know where to start.
Well, but before you dive in, let me just say that they've come a long way from where they started. And I think that the more they do this, the more they're learning about the balance between, dramatic and comedy, which is what Griffin was trying to say, I don't think he was disturbed that people were, like, having so much opinion of whether the podcast was a drama or a comedy, but he was just like, why can't it be both? Like, ¿por qué no los dos? Like, you can, salt and pepper is what Justin was trying to get across. So, and I completely 100% agree. Like, I think what endeared the Adventure Zone so much to people, especially me, is that it started off as this goofy thing, and then all of a sudden people put pants on and it became this, like, dramatic thing. But it was a dramatic thing with heart, and those jokes were still there, and you could still tell that the people behind the voices really, really cared about each other. And that, for me anyway, is why I keep listening. Because Justin was right, the McElroys were right in that it isn't, like, their podcast isn't a true play, actual play. They are playing, but they aren't explaining necessarily every single mechanic. Like, Justin was saying that he only knows about 25% of what the actual rules are, and I'm like, yeah, man, me too. So, if I wanted to listen to a podcast and learn how to play D&D, I'd probably be listening to something like, I don't know, Critical Role or Friends at the Table.
Which, yeah, it's a different beast, I think.
Yeah, completely. It's, like, they're excellent podcasts also, but what draws me in is the McElroy brand of comedy mixed in with fantasy and tabletop. Like, that's great. I love it.
Yeah. Another thing that's really interesting about this is that I think there is a certain type of internet storytelling where that starts off, it's something where people are just making up as they go along. Mm-hmm. They're flying by the seat of their pants. It starts off silly and then kind of the gravity of the narrative increases. Adventure Zone Balance is an example.
I'm waiting for you Homestuck. To say the one. Oh, thank you. Thank God. I was like, she's going to say it.
Homestuck is an example of this. Red versus Blue is an example of this, where they all started off very silly, mm-hmm. and it was just like, you know, jokes and goofs, and then the creators eventually kind of gained momentum and kind of made a more serious narrative out of it.
Yeah.
And the goofs, there's still goofs the whole time. And I think one thing that's interesting is I think people, fans of these kinds of things, get really attached to them. Like, the fact that all three of those examples started off silly and then grew, it's like watching a baby grow. Yeah. It's like,
oh, that is such they're a like, good...
It's that, yeah, it's like my child. Like, you're watching this thing grow up. And so there's something really satisfying about that. And I think people have an emotional reaction to that.
That is, in and that of is itself. So good. Yeah, very true.
I know. But thank you, Chelsea. But I think there are also going to be people who pull back because they start off liking the goofs and they're not interested in anything that has more heart, I would say. That's the word you used, and I thought that was a good word. Like, Adventure Zone has a ton of heart. Like, that's what people loved about it. It was a very heartwarming show. And I think not everybody... I think there is this sort of sense of betrayal sometimes when fans start off listening to one thing and then it transforms. Mm. And if you're lucky, it transforms into something you love even more. But that doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of where some of the tension on this issue comes from. And, I don't know. I mean, again, like, I think the Amnesty setting is just not as silly as Forgotten Realms setting was for them. And I think maybe it won't be as, like, goofy. You can't, like, I think there will be less making up silly facts about the world and then suddenly that's canon, like, okay, you know, the fucking gnome named Craig and Craigslist and that's how they met, like, I forget, there's so many other examples of things that were just like jokes that became canon.
The entire town of Tom Baudet's Rockport.
Yes, thank you, exactly. And I think there will be less of that, but even though I love that stuff, and even though it felt like a relief to hear Elementary and be like, oh my god, this is like just like at the beginning of Balance, but like I'm not necessarily like scared that there is, it doesn't, the dramatic elements of Balance were something that I grew to love, and they're like very like beloved of me. Yeah. And is beloved of or beloved to, how do you say that expression?
I don't know, I usually opt to say endeared because at least I know how to use endeared.
Yeah.
Something becomes endeared to you
thank you.
Yeah,
I liked the dramatic stuff. That's the stuff that made me cry and mm-hmm. care about these characters on a much deeper level than them just, like, goofing off. And, like, I mean, with Amnesty, the thing about Amnesty is, like, it already made me laugh really hard. And that's kind of, like, in the back of my mind when I was listening, like, I ended up going, like, oh, this is the one I want them to do. Because, like, it was still very, very funny.
Yes.
Even though it was a more serious setting. And, like, yeah, I don't know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. No, completely agree. You can have the dramatic and you can have the comedy, but I think you can enjoy both when they're there together. That's why, and I think the boys mentioned it too, like Errol with the bell, that was so hilarious because the other 80% of the podcast was so serious. So, and Justin was saying that they think that now that they've settled on a thing and that they aren't trying to pressure themselves to convey so much information in a short amount of time, they can just kind of relax, breathe a little bit.
I think, yes. Yeah. Yes, I think that's going to be true.
Yeah, I think it'll still be funny.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just based on, like, the stuff that happened in Amnesty that I already love, like, everything surrounding Duck, basically. Yeah, well, I'm trying to think. But, like, fucking Minerva and Beacon, amazing.
Yes.
Fucking love. Every time Ned opens his mouth, he's hilarious.
Yes.
And I'm really excited to see more, like, characters in the town. Like, I want to know more about Kirby. I want to know more about the rest of the monsters at Amnesty Lodge.
Yeah.
I'm just super psyched for it. Again, we got it. We got Amnesty, Chels. I'm so into excited. It. I'm ready.
I know. Oh, my God. Wait, so are we getting the next episode of Amnesty next week?
Is that how that works? Is it still Max Fun Drive next week? I mean, no. 2 weeks? Wait, no, are they doing next week or 2 weeks?
It must be next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm ready. Oh, man. I was so relieved when they said they were going back to bi-weekly because, like...
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Because that means we get to go back to bi-weekly.
I know. I mean, it seems, like, dumb for me to complain when, like, they're the ones doing all the work. But, like, I'm doing work, too. And it was hard. So, I really... One thing I really liked was the question... So, again, I mean, like, I think that all the things that I had strong reactions to were people talking about their concerns... basically, or the boys talking about concerns that people had expressed. And one thing that I thought was really interesting was somebody asked the question about how they were going to maintain a balance between narrative and actual play, and whether Monster of the Week would allow the players to take those same kinds of, like, story-shaping actions, like Phantom Steed and Arms Outstretched.
Yep.
And Griffin's response was really funny because he was talking about how they were already going by the rule of cool when they were doing those moments happen. Yeah. And, like, I knew, you know, like, even listening to Arms Outstretched, like, even at the time, I was like, that's not how Magic Jar works. But, you know, like, I never really thought about it in this context before. And it was fun to hear them just admit, like, yeah, we fucking broke the rules. That stuff didn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I think that's what they're really... Oh, did you... Go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, following from that, I think another point in their defense is that, like... just a reason why I don't think switching game systems is going to change that aspect of the show is that, like, Justin had to choose to do those spells. It wasn't just, like, something that was inherent to Dungeons & Dragons. That was also, like, Justin's improv ability. And Clint's, too, in the case of Arms Outstretched. And maybe an even better example is, like, Magnus breaking into the brig to see Pringles. That, like... First of all, it was such a fun Magnus Rogue moment. Yeah. I love that, and I still do. And that didn't have anything to do with the mechanics of D&D, but that was another thing where it was like Travis just decided to do something that Griffin was not expecting at all, and it turned out to be like a really interesting moment where Griffin kind of was like trying to adjust and recover, and I think he did a really good job.
He just invented
guards and shit, and that all worked out really well, and it like set the tone going forward, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was super... interesting, and I mean, like, I'm confident that they'll all keep pulling those same kinds of stunts no matter what game they play, you know?
Yeah. I'm very glad that you mentioned all of that, because I wanted to mention it too, just because I'm really glad that, because that's something I think that we've talked about a lot, is, like, how much of this is improv versus how much of this is just them, but you're right, like, what made those moments so great, it wasn't the mechanics of the game, it was the players themselves, so... The players are still playing. Like, there's always opportunity for improv and magic moments, like, those things. They're gonna happen. And I'm very excited to see them happen.
I will admit that if you are already a fan of Dungeons & Dragons and you know the rules and you know the spells, like, a big part of the fun of those moments, I think, was hearing those spells used creatively, because that's such a fun part of D&D is, like, hacking, basically, and, like, trying to figure out, using spells, not just, like, in combat, but to influence the story is super, super fun, and it's fun hearing them use spells that you know, and I think that was probably, like, a big part of it. I think people aren't as familiar with Monster of the Week or any of the games that they played during this period, and I think that, like, does take away for some people, like we've discussed before.
Oh, that's true.
But again, like, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I think the only way those kinds of moments wouldn't happen in Monster of the Week is if Griffin says no when someone suggests something crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if it helps. I knew nothing about D&D, but I still was very delighted when Phantom Steed was a thing.
Okay, good. Yeah, that was... I talked about this before, but that was the moment when I went from liking the Adventure Zone to loving the Adventure Zone. It was that exact moment.
Aww.
It was just great, man. I just realized, like, I fucking love listening to the show. I was in my car on the way to work.
I can't think of when I started to love The Adventure Zone. I'm guessing it must have been... I know one moment in particular was when Dupree happened, because I was so, like, blown up. I had no idea what was going on or at all. But then as soon as Justin was just like, Dupree! I was like, oh my god, I love this podcast. Oh my god.
Taco. Fuck, man. Oh, Jesus. Another thing that made me laugh very hard was Griffin being surprised that people nitpicked rules during balance, and now, like, no one called them out on any rule stuff for these other games. And he said he was, like, that was his thing that surprised him about doing the mini-arcs, but, like, there's a very obvious reason, because everyone knows how to play D&D, and, like, nobody knows how to play these other games.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, nobody could nitpick them on the rules anyway.
No one can call them out so much.
No, I mean, I think the actual reason is probably that and not to, like, disparage these other games, they seem really cool, and I would be interested in playing some other games if, like, learning a new tabletop wasn't such a huge entrance barrier in terms of, like, learning new rule sets is time-consuming, but I think the people who play D&D like the rules a lot, and I like the rules a lot, so I know, like,
is something that we've talked about a little bit, is that there's comfort in rules, at least for games and things. For a second, I was about to go off on a tangent about authority and, you know, rebelling against the man. But in the context of D&D, like, you find pleasure in manipulating a system and flexing your limits and having limits to flex. Like, that's exciting. And it's very creative to figure out your way out of the box 100 different ways. But I think that's also kind of the neat thing about them moving on to different tabletops is now I have other tabletops to consider when we try to think of a game to play and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, that's true.
They're exposing us to all these different things, which is very, very neat. Do you envision them ever going back to 5th edition? And I know they've talked a little bit about this on other episodes of TTAZZ, but, like, they've kind of had a taste of these other games that allow them to be more narrative than, like, D&D. I don't know how to phrase it more, but
no, I understand what you're saying. I don't know if they want to go back.
I feel like this kind of it meets their niche of it needs to be entertaining and also story driven and also role playing and also like luck based a little bit, and I feel like this really works for narrative podcasting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that they didn't get comments about the way they were using the rules for these games, is because these games already, their focus is much more on the narrative, and the rules are mostly there to support storytelling.
Yeah.
And so I think even if listeners did understand the rules to these games really well, they would be less inclined than a big D&D fan to, like, point out, oh, you're doing it wrong, because that's not the point of these systems, I think, as much as it is in D&D.
My hope is that the folks who came on board because they were like, oh, I like role-playing games, I like D&D, my hope is that the McElroys win them over, that it can transition to, oh, I like role-playing, and I like character growth, and I like learning about other worlds and stuff. Like, I hope that folks can adhere to more than just the mechanics of things, because this podcast isn't so much about the mechanics of things.
Yeah, no kidding. Look, I already knew how to play D&D when I listened to The Adventure Zone, and boy, they broke a lot of rules. they broke a lot of rules, and more that they, like, disregarded a lot of rules that are commonly disregarded.
Yeah,
like,
you can't break what you don't acknowledge exists.
Not worrying about eating.
Or preparing spells.
Like, I don't know. Basically, I'm pretty sure Justin sat there with every wizard spell available, which is not how you're supposed to play a wizard. There's just, like, a lot of things. Like, I mean, they did the whole thing in Theater of Mind. Like, they never used a game board or anything. And up until very recently, I'd never played that way. And it's fucking fun, as it turns out. Like, I've been playing in a game where we are not using a game board or anything, but we're just, like, imagining
things. You guys are just using your imaginations?
I know! Can you believe it? It's real. Okay, it's actually awesome, because when I play a game, when I'm looking at the grid, then, like, my memory of play is me looking down at the grid with the figurines on it, or at the Roll20 interface.
Yeah.
But playing this other game, where we're not using the map, like, I have to work really hard to imagine the battlefield, and consequently, all my memories of play are from first person, like, really vivid pictures of, like, where we were and what was going on from the perspective of my character, and it's fucking cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, I would love that. Oh, but I also, I like the boards, because I've never, like, played with the boards, really.
Yeah.
Like, so
the boards are really fun.
Yeah, for me, that's, like, super fascinating, but Theater of the Mind, like, that's Well, that's what a pod. That's what this podcast is. Is I'm not looking
exactly,
at anything.
Exactly.
And that's why it's so exciting. But it is more pressure to like role play and to describe stuff and.
Yeah. I think one drawback is that when I was playing this other game, I was constantly having to, like, every time it was my turn, I'd have to ask the DM, can you describe where everyone is again, just because it's harder to keep in mind.
And
back to the rules are fun, having to deal with movement, I think it's really fun. That's a really fun aspect of combat, so that doesn't bother me. But, like, man, it's really cool to have these clear images from, like, a ground-level perspective.
Yeah.
From having played these, like, this other game. It's awesome.
You know what the happy medium to all of this would be?
What would it be?
LARPing.
You say happy medium like this would be some, like, easy compromise.
Well, you wanted roleplay and you wanted first person. And you
I wouldn't, like, I have not considered LARPing, but I've talked about before with people, like, what if we played D&D, but we just went on a hike, and then we, like, moved around in real time, and I guess at that point we would basically be LARPing, so.
Yeah, that's basically LARPing. You know, I'm pretty into it. I mean, not into LARPing, but I'm into, the design aspect and the roleplay aspect, so I
dude, cosplay you cosplay. Part, you yeah. cosplay and you play D&D,
that's
so
basically
you're,
LARPing.
Like, yeah. You're one step away, Chels, all right?
I think you better watch
yourself.
I think in our first episode of Taz Talk, we talked about the echelons of nerdness.
Oh, yeah.
And how we were only one level below LARPing, which I guess we consider that to be the plateau of, you can't go any more nerdy than that.
But, well, no, this is something that the McElroys talked about in episode one of Balance Arc.
That's what it
they
is.
Were saying that, like, we never played D&D, but now it's more mainstream, and now there's LARPing. And then I think Griffin was like, well, one day there will be, like, live-action slash fiction roleplay, and then LARPing will be cool. one other thing that I wanted to talk about is Griffin talking about how there are people who think, or who wonder if he, like, to use his word, strong-armed the rest of the group into, like, playing his game.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, honestly, from this perspective, I can understand why people would imagine that. Mm-hmm. But I think the people who think that, they don't understand that being a dungeon master isn't fun. It is so hard and unrewarding. And, like, I mean, there are a lot of things that make it worth it. Like, I keep doing it, so there's something that I like about it, but it's fundamentally exhausting, and it's so much work, and I think maybe there are other people who, like, love it and they have no problem with it. I can only speak for myself and, like, everyone I know in person that I've talked to about it, but on some level, I think sometimes you're the DM because somebody has to do it, and it's not like, oh, yeah, I get to control everything. It's like, oh, God, I'm having a fucking meltdown. This is so hard, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really easy for me to imagine Griffin being like, I'm going to do it because I have a story to tell. But, like, you know, I know how good it feels to just be a character again after you've been the DM.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he got to be a player for a little bit.
I'm glad, too. And that's to switch a little bit on the subject. I like that they were interested in going back to the one-offs, but
even talk about that.
Well, I mean, we're gonna talk about it right now, but
all right.
Mostly I just wanted to mention that I'm glad that they were open to revisiting Commitment and Dust in the capacity of, well, you know, we can record these other episodes and just have them available so that if we want to post something in an off week, or if, you know, we don't have time to do, like, you know, if there's any delays or anything, so that there's something, you know, for us to post. And originally, I think that that's kind of what they were relying on live shows to do. And as you and I both know, there are plenty of opportunities to keep doing, like, keep filling the feed with live shows. But I think maybe having, like, a B-side at the Adventure Zone would be kind of cool. B and C-side, if Dust and Commitment keep going.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. It was kind of a pleasant surprise to hear that they were thinking about not just, like, you know, I think, did we talk about, like, oh, maybe Clint would make a comic out of Commitment?
I think he talked about it.
Or was that something that he talked about?
Well, because the idea for Commitment came from his original, like his original concept for his comic back in the, like the 70s or something. So I don't know if he'd like make a graphic novel about it, but I think he was willing to expand on it or like to continue it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm happy to hear that they want to...
Yeah, but they did mention how they didn't really like the Fate system.
Oh, that's right, that's right. So yeah. I wonder maybe if they would just do... I don't know if they would keep going with Fate for commitment then. I mean, it's already so... I don't know how they would, like, extract the characters and setting from that. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be impossible, but it would be...
A lot.
It could be clumsy.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is... Clint had a lot of good opinions about how commitment felt really good if you were playing it, because it was more collaborative and it was more story building, but it wasn't really suited necessarily for a podcast audience. So it kind of like hurt a little bit to just hear like how kind of disappointed he was that they all kind of how they keep kind of describing the commitment arc is it was their rebound podcast after Balance. So they put in a lot of effort and they overthought a lot of things and they built up all of these characters that it, you know, didn't really come together as satisfyingly as they wanted, because you know when you exit a thing at a really high level and then you go to your new thing and you want to replicate how good it felt with the old thing. Like, the thing that you end up producing, oftentimes, you're comparing it constantly to the good old thing that you're used to. So...
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. And I felt for them, because I'm like, yeah, man, it's really hard to move on to a new project after you've experienced the good of your old project, you know? But that's...
Yeah, definitely.
That's how it is, to move on to new and exciting things. Like, you don't get to the new things by keep doing the old things. I'm just rambling now. Stop me, Rachel.
I don't remember what I expected when we started out, like, post-Balance. Like, doing this podcast or just, like, continuing to listen to The Adventure Zone. I don't remember what I thought. Whether I thought, like, well, they're not going to top that or what. But, like, I'm real pleased with Amnesty so far. So I think I'm pleasantly surprised. I don't feel that surprised, though. And I think maybe I had confidence in the boys all along. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, I've enjoyed everything that we've listened to so far.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as they just keep talking, I'll keep listening. So I'm not that hard to please. Just keep talking.
Oh, man. Honestly. Speaking of DMing being very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody asked a question about how running a game, now that they've all like taken their turn DMing, how running a game would affect their playstyle as a character going forward. And then Clint was like, well, I'm not gonna fuck with the DM anymore. and they were all saying like, no, you should, but also like, he definitely will. I have been in the position of being DM and then going back to being a player, and you just like switch roles. I don't know, it's difficult to describe, and maybe it's because I don't have like, I don't know, maybe I would need more experience to break out of this, but I find, like, it's very difficult when you're in one position to... You, like, have to put yourself into the role you're playing, whether it's a player or the DM, and it's very hard to, like, turn that off so you can think about how it felt to be on the other side of the screen again.
Yeah.
And, like, I know, you know, when I'll go up there and I'll DM and then I'll go back to being a player and I just turn back into the same little shit I always am when I'm a player. It's like, you would think that, oh, now I have some respect for it and I'm going to be really nice to my DM, but it's like really hard to do that. And it's not because I'm being mean on purpose or like being insensitive on purpose. Yeah. It's just like you as the DM and the players, or the GM as it were, have very different and specific goals, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just, sometimes it's hard to reconcile them. Like, I've had, you know, this is a very fun game that I love, but I've had kind of, like, a little bit of tension between, like, the DM and players in every game I've ever played. It's just, like, something that a lot of people are putting a lot of effort and emotion into, and sometimes it gets, like, frustrating. And that's what Travis was talking about, how the whole Rip bell, like after Errol threw the bell, that whole scene was him punishing Griffin. And I knew at the time that's what he was doing. Yes. And like, he did it in a very funny way, but I like, you know, yeah, sometimes you're like, you're the character and you're trying to do your best at being your character. And sometimes it's frustrating as the DM when you're trying to make a story go the way that you want it to. And that's why I don't mind Griffin's Griffin, you can railroad as much as you fucking want, because, like, again, I think this podcast would not be what it was if it was just a bunch of, like, people bumbling around and there wasn't that element of, like, high executive control.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that's interesting about Amnesty is I think, like, and this I think is true of Balance Arc to some extent as well, but Amnesty has a lot less exploration than, like, a typical tabletop would have, I think. Maybe I'm thinking more of D&D than, like, what Monster of the Week is normally like, which I've never played, obviously, but there's a lot of, like, Griffin just puts them in a scene and says, okay, here you are in this scene.
Yeah.
What do you do? I have
a thing to say about that, but you finish.
Say
finish
it. Up. Go for it.
Well, I was just going to say, like, because Monster of the Week, the nature of it is very episodic, and there isn't a whole lot of room or opportunity necessarily to just wander around and discover things. There were a lot of complaints about Griffin railroading in Balance, like, how are, like, I'm wondering and I'm curious to see if those kind of thoughts and complaints are going to come up again of, like, Griffin, you're guiding them too much. But
I'm sure they will. Yeah. But I will defend Griffin with my dying breath.
Oh,
because
hell yeah.
I know how difficult it is, like, to try to make, and I don't know, like, there have been a couple moments in my work campaign where, like, things just came together and it was incredible, and it was just one of these things where it's like, how did we not plan that ahead of time? It was so cool.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen that often. Like,
yeah.
It was just like a fluke. It was, we got lucky.
But those were the best moments. The other thing too,
they were really good. Yeah.
The other thing too, though, is that Griffin, like, he straight up said, I'm not planning the last battle. You guys have to plan the last battle. Mm-hmm. So if that's how every single arc is going to end, not to say that is or isn't how it's going to be, like, that was kind of Griffin's way of saying, I'm not railroading them now, because
yeah,
it's completely up to them. So
I'm excited for that. I think that'll be really cool.
Yes.
And, I mean, yeah, I do think to some extent that takes care of the problem of, like, although they're not going to have any agency. Well, that's, like, a big thing to be able to plan yourself. And again, like, this is something that they touched on, but I do imagine that, like, now that it's not a tight, compact little module mm-hmm. of a story, that they will probably have more opportunities to, like, run around and do their thing rather than Griffin, like, really trying to get a point across in a couple of episodes.
Yeah, I think we just need to give them a couple weeks to get rolling again and settle into their new characters, new universe, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Or it'll be a huge, horrible disaster, but I doubt it.
Real quick, I think we're running a little bit long, but I do want to just mention that Griffin talked about making the music and finding the sound for each of the arcs, and I just wanted to let you know that I thought of you.
I know. Thank you, Chelsea. I thought of you thinking of me.
I'm excited that knowing that we're going to season 2 means that we're going to have more opportunity for Griffin to just, like, buckle down and focus on one thing, and that thing is to make more music for us. So,
dude, I'm psyched. Yeah.
You know, I wonder, because we are moving on to a new arc, like, when is our next opportunity to hear the original theme? I think for this episode, when they played the original theme, like, I got a little bit choked up because I haven't heard
the original
theme in such a long time that it sounded...
I always forget the name of that track. It's Deja Vu.
Yes. By
Mark Garson.
Thank you.
That I know. I always, like, mix up the name of the album and the name of the track. But yeah, I think that's Deja Vu. Yeah, I don't think we're going to hear that again. I mean, for TTAZZ, we get Griffin's cover of it, but I think, like, the Dust theme is going to be the Dust theme, and I don't
mean Amnesty?
Amnesty theme. Yeah, Amnesty theme is going to be the Amnesty theme, and I don't think they're going to. I think that, like, theme is attached to Balance, and that's that.
I think that's a very smart move for them to do that.
I think so.
Yeah,
and I really like Amnesty theme, and I'm like, I've been re-listening to Amnesty, and, like, I'm excited to keep hearing that.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? Anime seasons, whenever they change seasons, they change openings and endings. So there.
That's true.
This is Griffin's anime.
Oh my god. Griffin's such a fucking nerd. Oh my god.
They all are.
That's true. But Griffin, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that is everything that I wanted to say.
I think so too. Rachel, where can people find us?
Well, Chelsea, if people want to get in contact with us, they can you, listener, can send us an ask on Tumblr at taztalk.tumblr.com, or you can send us an email at taztalkpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can also tweet us. We are at taztalkpodcast. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, man. I'm psyched.
We're going into the
season two. Yeah. Here we go. We're doing it. Oh, shit.
Hitting up that new. Let's go.
Oh, man. It's going to be good. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's it. All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Bye.